So, would you introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Klaus from Teddy Bears.
Hey, and I'm Jukka.
Hey there, I'm Swedish Tiger.
And the good thing is this is radio, so this is great because we don't, and we, you know, there'll be a picture on the website and we've just discussed what that'll be, but we're safe, right? Your secrets are safe. Revisionist history is really great, right? So I don't like to do, yeah, so I don't like typical history. So I'm going to give you each an opportunity to tell me something about this thing we're about to talk about. And I'm not going to define what it is yet because we'll get there in a second. But you can either tell me something true or completely lie.
Well, that's great because we have a very creative relationship with truth anyway.
Yes, I know.
So this is nothing new to us. This is kind of what we do.
Right.
Now, briefly, the history is started out punk outfit, grew into an electronic outfit, started producing other bands, and started inviting guests to work with Teddy Bears.
Interview over. He's done it all. We're done. Yeah. That's it. There's nothing left to say.
I can say something about this thing that's really, really true. I know I have the opportunity to lie here, but this is actually true. Last time we were in San Francisco, we played a show, and we went to the hotel to sleep, and Patrick went out, still asleep, but he went out of bed to go pee, and he went out in the hotel corridor and peed in the cleaning woman's locker booth, and then locked himself out of his hotel room, and had to go down to the reception. It was like still a lot of people down there and everything. He had to go down there in his underwear and ask for his hotel room like an extra key.
And he didn't have the. And unfortunately, he probably didn't have the heads.
No,
at the time,
because
if he had the heads at the time, going down in the underwear,
yeah,
with the head would have been.
You still have your dignity. Whatever else you wear with the head, you always have your dignity.
Yeah. Everybody knows he's lying, though. Yeah. He's talking about the stories about himself. I would never do such a thing. You know that.
No, I don't know that. You see, I've met him before. I kind of believe him, but I'm looking at you, and I have to tell you that the two of them have collaborated on this story, or commiserated, or other things starting with a rated. They synchronized watches before the interview. So how are you going to get out of this?
I'm a responsible father of five kids. So I would never do such a
thing. I'm an irresponsible father of one 10-year-old, and she would say she's been to a lot of rock and roll interviews, and if she was sitting here, she would say, "I don't know about this." There's so many things in your bio that are so much fun, and we're not going to go through that. But I love the idea that it's conceivable you named your band because you love guns and Phil Spector. Is that possibly, you know, could that be possible?
Yeah, that's part of it. You know, we like Phil Spector's hairstyles and his approach to, like, how he approaches, like, creative conflict when he's producing.
You know?
We tried all of those techniques ourselves, and they actually work.
I know. And stop pointing that gun at me.
I find that sometimes gunplay can sell something way better than like words.
Could you for editing? Say that again.
That's not a gun.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh boy. So wait. Now who plays the rim shots in the band? Thank you. But you know, so. Are you sick of people asking what the heck Teddy Bears is? A band, a collective, a group of musicians?
We are a band, actually. We started a band, but then gradually we started sort of not being a band in the strict sense of the word. We let it be whatever it needs to be. Whatever feels like inspiring at the time.
Yeah, and
sometimes it's a group of ninjas on a mission in the night.
So where was that moment that you said, okay, Teddy Bears, you know, we're going to put a little mystery into this and make it even more interesting for people to see the band?
The thing is, like, we don't really think about what's interesting for people. We think about what's interesting for us mainly. And we decided that it was more interesting for us, or the kind of, like, band that we would like to see. It's not just some, like, regular. We want to put some, like, no, it's not for this. Like, I mean, there are bands that I like that do that, then they're really good. But yeah, that's not what we want to do. We're really inspired by Kraftwerk, and I don't really like Kiss, but there are many like similarities to like Kraftwerk and Kiss. They put on like personas when they went on stage, and you know.
Oh, we did the same thing. Yeah, whereas like, times, yeah, where you sort of you invent something that's like larger than your boring everyday self, which
it's
is
kind of like the Bareheads. It's kind of like when David Byrne put on that giant suit to make his head look smaller. Yep. We made the heads to make our heads look even bigger than they are in real life.
Not from moment one, but let's say from year four. We'll pick 2005. Next thing you know, Cobra Style comes out, and it's everywhere, right? And it's on video games, and it's, you know, and this is the modern world. And this band, what it really has succeeded about this band is how you've approached the modern world, in that, and more importantly, how the modern world has approached you, because obviously you're doing the right thing in terms of the music being for a lot of people, and not in that Lady Gaga pop sort of way, because it's certainly not. It's pretty sophisticated stuff. But you know, in a social media world, this music has gotten heard a lot. And yet, if you say to somebody, ooh, who's that band? You wonder if they say, oh, well, it's that band that I saw in the, you know, the.
Like, we're not really interested in, we think what's important is the music that we make and the shows we put on and the kind of like our window to the world. And I don't think it's really interesting like what I have, what's my favorite breakfast cereal or what color my underwear is or whatever like my family
They're
situation is.
And you like Frosties, right?
So that brings me to, I mean, for crying out loud, Robin, Marilyn Manson, Nina Cherry, you know, Ebbett, you know. Yeah, this is a pretty amazing body of work you've done in a few years. And I'm not saying that to suck up. I'm saying because, again, the same thing happened. Punk Rocker shows up, and I was listening to it on the way here. It's sitting right here on my iPhone. You know, it's among the tracks I've always had on there. And I'm just listening to the thing, and my car, I have pretty good bass in my car, and the thing's just rattling. And I'm thinking, okay. So what I want people to understand is this isn't just a band, that this is, you know, a production company. This is a recording studio. This is a group of people that have gotten together to make, you know, it's not like, oh, we're making songs and we're hanging out with artists, right?
It took a long time for us to kind of like take control over the whole, like every aspect of the creative process, because we got disappointed so many times, like trying to like give control to other people. So it's kind of, we are still in that do-it-yourself kind of punk way. We're learned a lot, so we got our own studio and we're more sophisticated now, but it's still like do it yourself is very much us, because we do it ourselves. We write the stuff ourselves, we record the stuff ourselves and do like visual stuff ourselves. And
I think a lot of the collaborations we've done with people came about because we agreed on the musical aspects of it. Wasn't anything else. It was on the credit of the song. Like, we sent the song to Iggy, he didn't know about us, but he liked the song. Yeah,
same thing. Like, we don't approach people that we feel some kind of kinship with the people that we approach. If it's our friends, like before we do the musical collaborations, that's fine. Like in Nana Cherry's case, for example, or in Abbott's case, we were friends like before we did anything musically together. But it's also like we feel some kind of kinship with, like, you know, the Flaming Lips. When we contacted them, it's like, you know, instant karma or whatever. It's just like,
well,
really,
also artists approaching artists, you know. versus hey, we're in a rock band. I mean, there is kinship because of the way that what you guys do and what Wayne and his crew do, it's very similar in that. And again, I'm not doing the, well, we're making art, but you're making, you know, you're not just making songs, you know. And whether a crowd who shows up to a concert like this tonight, you know, is just coming because they dig punk rocker or they like Cobra Style or they like, you know, different sound or whatever, doesn't really matter, because once you get them in the room, you have the ability to do what you want to do with them, right?
Yeah, because like people that come to the show tonight, for example, they're going to hear all those songs you mentioned, but we also like we don't just play our record like the right. other band you mentioned before. We mess with our songs a lot, and right. because we think that a good song can take that, you know. So this is like we remixed and reworked the songs. They're still recognizable, I think, or hope, or maybe they're not. But it's like I hope and think that people that come to see our show and like our band is an open-minded crowd that's like into the art of music and not just want to hear like our hit records reproduced as.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. as much as possible on stage. So
I just want you to tell me your, because I've read various versions, but so Iggy got the song, and what I read is that you had it from one point of view, and then he took it to a different point of view. Is that the story?
When we wrote the song. We wrote it with Iggy, with the story of like how David Bowie found Iggy in L.A. and picked him off the street and sort of. We had that scene in our head.
But that was and also I think like in the sorry. Back of our minds. It's think, a lot of like
I think that when he heard it, he thought of Joey Ramone.
Yeah.
So that's we thought of Iggy, but Iggy thought of Joey.
Interesting.
So I think he sings.
So he kind of modeled it more off of yeah. Joey.
I think he sings about Joey.
And it's kind of like the whole punk rocker word. It's like it's just the whole lyric to us was very much about Iggy, for example, never called himself a punk rocker.
Never.
He never had a mohawk or a studded leather jacket or nothing. Like none of those, what do you call it? Cliche attributes.
Yeah. Right.
But he was punk in our minds because he did what, like we were talking about before. He was stood up for individuality and
yes.
the right to be yourself and to be a freak and be a proud freak or whatever. All that, like, we tried to.
Yeah, he's not a beautiful guy, and, you know. It's like.
Yeah, we tried to get all that stuff in the lyric, and I think he related to that. And then when he heard it, he rewrote like some of it to be more like specifically about things that he thought about, like Joey, like. But I didn't even know. That Joey and Iggy were friends at all at the time. I didn't know that. I didn't think about that before. But
wow, Joey,
and Joey had just passed.
I was just going to say, I was just going to say the timing because I remember that. Yeah.
There's a really deep, sadness in that song, too.
So do you think maybe among the greatest things you've done here is you've broken the ability for anybody, and I want you all to answer this, to genre you and to say, well, they're kind of a punk dance electro rock Mexican mariachi soul northern soul Swedish meatball tortilla chip band.
Yeah, I think you summed it up really nicely there though. you kind of nailed it.
You've got your genre.
No, but
that's your genre.
Yeah. We kind of.
But you know what I'm getting at. I'm saying I'm being sarcastic here, but it's
yeah,
like,
but
enough
like,
already.
If there's a genre there, the genre is the little meat grinder that we put everything through.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's either two. If we do a club sandwich, it's three of your songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.